Transformation is inevitable, but it doesn't have to take forever. What if you could see the obstacles before they happen, sidestep the common mistakes, and drive change faster than ever? That's exactly what we're here to do. Welcome to Transformation Unfiltered, the podcast where HR professionals share their stories about how they've hit fast forward on their transformation efforts and built legacies as world-class people leaders and change makers. And now, here's the show.
Crying is my body's way of saying, I gotta let it out. And the silence, and it wasn't that she just didn't say anything. It was, I'm here, let it out. Was there anything in particular that happened today? Is there one thing that you want to talk about? And typically there was a memory or a text or a conversation, an email that just was very triggering is usually what happened. And she would say, talk to me about what you read. Talk to me about what it sounded like. And almost, I don't know that she used the word triggering, but she was like, what button is that hitting for you? Several times there was, is there a value that is that pushing up against? She was really good at open-ended questions too. What do you want to feel differently tomorrow than you are feeling today? What, if anything, can you do today to help manage what those emotions are? Have you ever experienced, this was always good, the look back. Have you ever experienced anything in this feeling right now? And what have you done with that has been helpful? She definitely, even though she was not somebody that was very faith-based, she knew that was for me. And that was even a struggle in the midst of all of this. And I was so impressed that she took something that was not her platform or very close to her heart, and she knew it was for me and would ask questions in relation to, okay, can you step back and think about, from a faith perspective, what else could this mean? Is there any other story that could be happening that you're not thinking about? And these conversations would be like 2 hours long. Bless her heart that the ability to stay in a situation where she had her own things going on as well, that we would end typically with, okay.
What happens when two things that feel opposite are both true? Can you be authentic at work without bearing it all? In this episode with Carrie Smith, Senior Vice President of HR at H.H. Hunt, who navigated two major life changes while stepping into a new role at a brand new company in a new industry. Her story is about resilience, vulnerability, and what it really means to lead as a whole human through change that is both difficult and exciting. Carrie, welcome to the show today. I'm so delighted you're here. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
Yeah. And as we often talk about the messy moments in our career and in our lives as whole human leaders, before we get into how that really propelled us forward, so we start right off with the messiness. Tell me a little bit about the messy moment that kind of was important for you to share today with our listeners.
My messy moment is a little bit on the personal side, and I share it because I feel like it's probably fairly common, not great, but common. And about 10 years ago, very close to when we're talking about, I started going through a divorce. At the same time, I had just started a new job with a new company. And in my previous company, I had been there for 20 years. So this was a lot of change, a lot of newness, all happening at once, and a lot of emotion. Just changing jobs in and of itself, I think, brought in a lot of anxiety. And then the sort of messiness that was a divorce and just dealing with all of that with my kid, that brought on a lot of different experiences and emotions.
Yeah.
To say the least.
When I hear, first of all, I have a new job, that all by itself is a raised level of, oh my goodness, I have to be on, fully on, emotionally tuned in. Then add on top of that, having a divorce, really rethinking, how do I show up in the world in this unpartnered way? And then also raising children at the very same time. Yep. That's three big, huge things all at once. And I don't know, maybe there was even more, but I imagine that created a lot of internal churn. And I'm curious about what was that like for you?
So the one thing that knowing that it was a new job, a new company, I really only knew one other person there from my previous work was the goal was to not show anybody that's what was happening on the outside. And what's happening in your personal life and being able to shut that down as you walk in the door to work is extremely difficult. But that was my goal at the end of the day, was not to let anybody be able to tell by the way I was showing up, how I was talking, what I was bringing to the table, that there was any of this, I say drama, but like any of this angst that was so significant outside work. That was an absolute goal of really trying to not show up in any way.
Yeah,
people would get that.
What was so important about that for you? I think that there's this big question about being authentic and also being professional. So tell me more about what was important to you in this new job to be not showing that piece of your world to your new colleagues.
And that was really difficult for me because I'm the kind of person that I generally am very open and transparent and honest about what's going on in my world and having really open and honest conversations, even with people that are new to me and new relationships. I think the biggest driver behind that was I had a 20-year career at a company. I knew people very well. This was a new role in a new company, and they really didn't know me. One thing that was really important for me was to show up like I think everybody does, that level of competence. We're coming into a new role. We need to show up like we know what we're doing. We know what we're talking about. When they ask you a question, you got the answers. It's all that same feeling that you want to show up like you're supposed to be here, like you add value, and that nothing of that other stuff is getting in the way. So I wanted them focused on me, building the relationship with me and what I brought to the table, and not what I probably coined as baggage coming into that new role. I did also have a boss in the very beginning that was very open and understanding of what was going on, and also kept that very quiet. And just I could have a little bit of that open conversation with him and it not feel like it was broadcast to the rest of the company.
There's a couple things here that are so fascinating and powerful. One, you just revealed that you were 20 years in another company where you'd probably built up a strong reputation for competence. And then you come into this new place and part of your identity is being competent, being great at what you do. And it sounds like you really wanted to lean into that part of you as you paved the way with these new folks. In addition to really figuring out, okay, how do I do that when I have all this happening in the background? One of the things you said was I had a boss who really understood and that was your confidant. Tell me how did you leverage that relationship to help you to show up as your best self, despite all the noise in the background and the baggage, as you called it?
One of the best things and a blessing that I didn't really realize was going to be so important, especially with going through that kind of messiness in starting the new job, is my boss also had some experience with my previous company. So while I didn't have a whole lot of experience with him one-on-one at my old job, I did know of him. I did know of people that worked for him very well. And he understood what I was coming from into this new role. So there was a level of understanding that he knew just from a career standpoint of going from 20 years in one industry to a brand new industry in a brand new role. So I think that helped, that we didn't have to start from scratch building that relationship, and that there was already a door opening to having a conversation of just what the differences were with a previous employer into this new one. And then that expanded the opportunity to talk about some personal things. And so he asked really good questions about how are you feeling? What does this feel like versus what it felt like at the other company? So that approach to our conversations early on was really helpful for me in trusting that I could share and say, hey, I need you to know, this is what's going on. This is what I'm feeling. If I don't show up a certain way or I say something or whatever, I'm also giving you opportunity to to talk to me and ask me questions about what's happening.
It sounds like you had a confidant who had some prior knowledge of you, even if it wasn't a very tight relationship. Mm-hmm. There was something there. They had confidence in your abilities and they became someone that you felt like you could trust and vice versa.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What was going on the inside as you stepped through the doors of this new company, knowing that you are great at what you do, but you just did something for 20 years with people who you built strong relationships with, and now you're walking into a whole new situation amidst a lot of personal change. What was that like? Uh-huh.
In the beginning, it was super exciting. When I walked in there, what really got me excited about this role is it was new, but they hadn't done a lot of what I got to do at my other company. So my boss gave me, and he was very clear about, I hope this doesn't scare you, but he gave me 2 pages full of stuff of, hey, this is what we're not doing that you're familiar with at the other company. And he's like, how does that make you feel? And I'm like, this is exciting. This is that creativity and innovation and opportunity to put our own stamp on stuff within the company was very exciting. So in the beginning, even though there was some turmoil going on outside, this got me really excited. And where are we going to start first, in all honesty? So there was a lot of creative, innovative conversations with him and other people because they didn't know really what I did either. So it was, hey, can we do this? Can we do that? Are we going to do this? Like, where are we going? And so that helped ease a lot of the angst that was going on internally and just the fear. Like I did watch my parents go through a divorce. And so from a child's perspective, I understood it, but not from an adult perspective. And there's a lot of fear that comes along with that. And so the fear of changing jobs started to diminish, which was really helpful just for my overall sanity. And so that got replaced with excitement. But the idea was focus on those 8 hours when you're coming in the door on what that excitement looks like, all the things that you've got ahead of you that you're interested in. And then when you leave here, then tackle the things that you've got to tackle from a personal perspective. I wasn't, in all honesty, so to add to the messiness, I'm not good. I've gotten way better, but I was never really good at compartmentalizing. So this was a little bit of a test for me to really practice doing that. And again, I wasn't good at it at first. There were times where I'm like, okay, I've got to go to the bathroom. We got to let all this stuff out. We got to work ourselves back into it and then go back out. Or on the way to work or on the way home. Those were the moments where I had, and I let myself have that meltdown and then get it out and then get back into what I needed to do, whether it was on the way to work and getting myself ready for that or on the way home before I was with my kids.
Yes. One of the things I love about what you just shared was, in a way, you found a sense of autonomy, creativity, something you could shape yourself in your new role. Mm-hmm. And that may have become a source of control and inspiration, while mm-hmm. all the other stuff was in flux, because you mentioned fear. Mm-hmm. So the fear about the job dissipated because it became a place of creativity, and you could have some autonomy in what you built together. And then you gave yourself those 8 hours, sometimes mm-hmm. not perfectly, and that's fine. But mm-hmm. then you turned your full attention to the personal stuff. Would you mind mm-hmm. if we learn a little bit more about how you developed that skill?
It has been a learning journey on myself through this whole experience. Even now, I look back and I'm like, wow, even though like today, I know there's days where I'm like, okay, I should be better at this. I've had 10 years basically to get really good at this. What I did back then was, and again, this took some time, but I had a friend tell me that focus in on the facts. Number one, what are the facts? Because my brain, and naturally all of us, we fill in the blanks. We tell ourselves a story.
Super good at
and then it really becomes true, whether it is or not. And she said, focus on the facts. Talk to me. And again, a really good, I had 2 to 3 people that were really my base that I could talk about things over and over again, the same thing. And they listen. But that was one of the big things was Let's talk about the facts and what you know. And is there a decision that needs to be made right now? Because I started to snowball with, if this happens, then this happens. And to your point, it feels like you get out of control. And that brings on all kinds of other emotions. And then I feel like I can't compartmentalize. I can't show up the right way at work and do the things I need to do. So those were two things that became really important of what do I know? And then what do I need to make a decision of? And from a completely Myers-Briggs standpoint, because I love that stuff, I am an S.
To the audience about what that means.
Okay.
Because not everyone will know that. They might label F with their own story. So let's clear up the wonder.
So the feeling preference in Myers-Briggs. So overall, I'm an INFJ. So introverted preference, intuition preference, feeling preference, and the judgment preference. So the feeling preference is really how you go about making decisions. Yeah. And so that feeling preference is more of that subjective. The decisions are more values-based, relationship-based,
kind of
thing. Like that. Yes.
Yeah.
It could look subjective to people. And so that was hitting hard through this whole process. And I also had a really good attorney that was like, she didn't talk in Myers-Briggs, but basically she was like, you don't have to do everything the way you would typically do it because you're valuing these relationships. You're valuing how people feel in certain things. She very much tried to get me to go on the opposite side of what I naturally wanted to do because it was so uncomfortable for me to be very direct, short, and to not put the relationship at the forefront of things and look at things very objectively, which felt cold to me. And so that was a big lesson learned of when you're asked a question, you don't have to, one, you don't have to answer it. Number two, you don't have to give a whole explanation and context to it. You can say yes, no, or whatever the right answer is. So it very much tested a lot of what my comfort zone was in very much how that relationship was going through the divorce, what my family dynamic looked like with my kids and my whole family, because I didn't have family close to me during that moment or during those years. Actually, it definitely taught me a lot about myself and what is comfortable for me.
Let me rewind a little bit. One of the things that you mentioned was, I'm going to recap a little bit. As you were really thinking about how do you keep the workplace, the place of creativity, the place of competence, you learned what some of your support structures were. And some of those support structures were having a boss, one confidant who had some experience of you and was somebody you could talk to. The other thing was giving yourself permission to feel in the moments. You also had, it sounded like a little support system of friends, like your board of directors who were your ear and gave you some wise sage advice. And maybe you'd even call your attorney one of those folks, because what they did was they were able to name when you were working from your point of the easiest thing to access for you, your comfort zone, which in this case might be feeling. It might be going in because you mentioned that you have more of an introverted nature. And all of those things helped you to be able to process this stuff over time. Is that true?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
So having your support system so that you can show up the way you need to in certain moments is really important, and leaning on them. And I'd love to hear more about how you use these lessons to help you stretch beyond when it comes to making decisions. Did that lead into any other parts of your life?
One of the things I noticed about that support group is, they asked me really good questions. It wasn't necessarily that they took the approach of trying to fix it for me or to give me the solution. A couple of them knew exactly how to respond to me and just asking me the question. It was very much a coaching without them designated as a coach, a very coaching relationship in order to get me to get to the answers or to me to get to a good place. And not necessarily say, and naturally, and it all came from a good place, but everybody was like, you're going to get through it. You're going to get through this. You'll see the light on the other side. You'll look back and you'll be like, okay, I did it and everything, which was great. But in that moment, like you were saying, to be able to sit with those feelings and still know I was going to get through it in the end, I needed both of those things. And so those couple of individuals, the way they asked questions to make me think and talk through not just what was happening, but how it was affecting me, and to name those things. What is it today that I'm struggling with? What is it that I'm fearful of? How am I going to approach the day tomorrow that is different from what I've learned about today? It was just fascinating way that they could ask me that into my questions. And that's one thing I've tried to take with me, both from a career standpoint and a personal standpoint, in just relationships. And so when I'm talking to people, asking really deeper questions, not only for my understanding, but for them to be able to give a space for them to speak at a deeper level about what they're doing. So I'm not making an assumption about some things, that I'm getting more and deeper, genuine thoughts from them to help whatever it is that they need from me.
I think that's so powerful. One of the things that really stands out to me is that you did leverage your support structure in a way that helped you to really process things. And they were there in a way that allowed you to grow. Can you take me to a moment when you were in one of those conversations and bring us into that moment with you?
One of the individuals that I had many conversations with, I would call her up and she would just say hello. And I broke down. I'm a crier. So when I know I've got to talk about some heavy stuff, that's usually the first reaction.
You said you need to be able to feel the feelings. Sometimes people don't even know what to do when there's emotions present.
Yes. Crying is my body's way of saying, I got to let it out. And the silence, and it wasn't that she just didn't say anything. It was, I'm here, let it out. Was there anything in particular that happened today? Is there one thing that you want to talk about? And typically there was a memory or a text or a conversation, an email that just was very triggering is usually what happened. And she would say, talk to me about what you read, talk to me about what it sounded like. And almost, I don't know that she used the word triggering, but she was like, what button is that hitting for you? Several times there was, is there a value that is that pushing up against? She was really good at open-ended questions too. What do you want to feel differently tomorrow than you are feeling today? What, if anything, can you do today to help manage what those emotions are? Have you ever experienced, this was always good, the look back. Have you ever experienced anything in this feeling right now? And what have you done with that has been helpful? She definitely, even though she was not somebody that was very faith-based, she knew that was for me. And that was even a struggle in the midst of all of this. And I was so impressed that she took something that was not her platform or very close to her heart, and she knew it was for me. And would ask questions in relation to, okay, can you step back and think about, from a faith perspective, what else could this mean? Is there any other story that could be happening that you're not thinking about? And these conversations would be like 2 hours long. Bless her heart that the ability to stay in a situation where she had her own things going on as well, that we would end typically with, okay, so what are you feeling right now? And what are you looking forward to tomorrow?
Wow.
Yeah.
What an amazing experience. Great friend.
Person. And one of the best humans.
It ever. Sounds like it. I want to meet her. And I'm so glad that she was able to meet you where you were and not just put her own lens over the question she was asking. She seems like she was really there for you in whatever way you needed.
Very much.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we are still extremely close friends to this day. So we were a newly formed friendship, given my current role. And something just clicked when we met each other. And I'm so thankful.
Yeah.
So thankful that she was brought into my life and was able to play such a significant role.
Absolutely.
During this.
So I think that understanding what those moments were like so that you could turn on professional carry when you walked in the door the next day is so powerful. You really didn't skim over the feelings, and you had someone to help you be in it in a way that probably would be a lot different than if you were going through your kind of, I don't know, worst case scenario situation.
It was it was really easy to do that. Left to my own accord, that's where my head went.
Probably because you're a human being. I think that we all have that tendency. And I think it's really powerful if you can notice that. And it sounds like you got better at noticing when those things were cropping up. Is that true?
Yes. And I really tried to take stock in what that EQ part, the self piece of okay, what is happening and what is the emotion that I'm doing? And then how is that translating? How am I letting that translate to others? Because I was worried about this being a new job and a new company and using what I knew is my confidence and my knowledge to show up well and add value without letting the personal stuff get in the way.
Really powerful. I think that the things you just asked yourself, what is happening? Question that sometimes doesn't happen after that is, how is that translating to others? How did you use that at work?
So one of the things is I just try and watch people and how they react to me. I'm very much in that introverted kind of way, the sort of think to speak type of approach. So being very mindful of the words that I'm using, looking for reaction from other people, looking for the environment and space that they're in right now, and what I think is appropriate or not appropriate in the moment. I've got a little bit of training just with being in HR with the EQ pieces of things. And I think a little bit unconsciously and maybe a little bit consciously of knowing that's a big part of how I build relationships and how do I use the things and the tools and resources that I like to teach others on. How do I do that for myself? Which I think a lot of times can be really easy to forget when you're asking others to do it. But then when you're put in the position where you're like, these are the things that I need to use myself just as much as I talk to other people about them.
Yeah. And I'm sure this period as a new leader in a new role with all this stuff allowed you a wonderful time to practice all of those things.
Excellent.
Even
though
you might not have always felt like doing it. So you really typically take some time to read the room. And that's a powerful thing. I hear a lot of times people will say, I really wish they would have read the room and maybe taken a different path. And it sounds like that's a skill set that you use. And then you change your actions or adapt your actions to the outcome you want.
I like to listen to people. I like to watch people. That may sound weird. I find people fascinating. And so especially when it's new people and I don't have these deep relationships that I have already established. So I'm looking to see who do I connect with? Who, you know, what are their styles? Again, I'm very much into the personalities and trying to learn and adapt to what other people's styles are. So that was really helpful. Again, I look back and I'm thinking, yes, it was very fearful to be able to take a new job, new company, new industry that I wasn't familiar with and go through this personal change. And it was actually really good because, like we were saying, like that balance of personal to the excitement and the fear and the unknown about the personal with the excitement of everything, new relationships, new tasks, job and stuff like that, balanced me out more than it provided all fear in all aspects of my life, if that makes sense.
It does. And it makes me think about the distinction between being in creation of your life and being reactive to everything around you. It sounds like maybe you had two places, one where you were being and reacting because that's the nature of something that's happening and maybe in divorce. And then maybe you had a place where you're creating. So that created some balance and a place to grow into who you wanted to be in those moments.
And I had so after about a year, I started talking more about what was going on. Mm-hmm. And that's when opening up a little bit more, I had built some relationships. I had people coming to me, which I thought was fascinating that they were going through the same thing from a personal standpoint. And they joked at work and actually brought a couch into my office.
Oh, goodness.
I had so many people. I say so many people. I know I can remember four people that would come in and want to just talk about this kind of right here of what was my journey like? What did I do that felt really good and helpful? And what would I do differently going forward, both from a child that went through it from a divorce standpoint and as a parent? And one day I was like, I'm not an expert on this. I really am not. I've been through this one time and didn't do it well, I don't think, in the beginning. So it was therapeutic for me. It felt really good to help other people if they thought it was helpful to share what my experience was in probably one of the most messiest things that you can choose to do. And the thing is, I chose to do that. And that was a big step for me. Because again, the fear and everything along with that, that I never thought I could do it, in all honesty.
Yeah. So you were shaping what was next for you on purpose, even in the face of, this is going to feel icky, but it's the right thing for me. Right. Let me ask you a couple of things. We've touched on so many important lessons that came about because you were unfiltered about being a whole person. And what are the things that you are taking away from that whole experience, from taking the new job, going through a divorce, managing for a year so that you could build your credibility and have a space, and then, you know, everything that happened to help you to be able to do that with your support structure, to becoming someone who was brave enough to share? And then what do you know? Somebody comes in and says, I need to talk. Can you talk?
Yeah.
So tell me about what you took away from that big, messy, but beautiful time in your life.
A couple things, and I touched on this. Change is hard, whether it's you initiating it and you choosing to do it, or it's being done, something externally is being done to force you to change. And that grief curve or the change curve, when you think about it, all the same things happen. And to give yourself a little bit of grace, whether it was personal, whether it's been work, anytime change is initiated, understanding where you are in that journey, understanding where others might be in that journey, and the grace that I may go through something way quicker or way slower than somebody else. And both of those two things are okay. The difference is okay. Somebody said to me, two opposing things can be true at the same time. Mm. And that was really important to me, because it was okay for me to feel really guilty on a lot of levels with what I had chose to do. And it was the right thing. I use the word and a lot these days instead of but, because I feel like it can capture both sides of those things that may feel, if you did it, you don't get to feel bad. You don't get to be emotional or guilty, or you've just got to take what comes to you because it was your choice to begin with. So just understanding change in a big level, and that every day is going to bring some sort of change, that lesson and that growth for me, I think, was really important. I needed it. It took a good 45 years to get to that point, but that was a big thing for me. And to just be open and genuine. If that's naturally who I was, keeping that under wraps for a good while was really draining for me. And I want to be open and genuine with people. And I think there's a level of trust that builds with others that really is important to me. And that I think is a big contributor to how I approach leading, how I approach the work that I do, any sort of relationship. I want to be authentic. I want to be genuine. And most of the time that works well for me.
Yeah. I think one of the things that stands out to me is that you shared these two lessons right next to each other. And maybe my brain is leaping a little bit, but two opposing things can be true at the same time. And here I'm watching you tell the story of how you were both true and authentic to maybe yourself, and also not sharing everything quite as like open kimono, and that's fine. And how is that a both and? Can you give us an example of how that time in your life was a really powerful both and that was an important to hold both in your both at the same time?
Yeah. The first thing that comes up without getting into the weeds of all the details of everything is I struggled from the fact of, is this the right decision? Is this the right decision to step away? And a marriage that was a long time, made vows, I made commitment to the family, my children, like I knew as a child what that impact can be. And I took a lot of time to try and figure out, is this the right thing to be doing for me? And for various other reasons, like at the end of the day, what was I teaching my kids? What did I want them to see? And so it was right for me. And then my son at one point said, God would never tell you to get a divorce, would never tell you that. And I struggled with that because I was like—
Really grappling, I can imagine.
Yes, because the right decision did not have faith part of it. It absolutely had a piece of that in it. And so then I was like, it is the right thing. And it does oppose what, you know, a lot of the messages are from a church perspective or a faith perspective. And he struggled with that. It was what looked like two opposing things weren't true. Yeah.
Yeah. And so how did you lean into the opposing side, living my faith and making this big choice for myself and my family?
So I say a lot of prayer. In all honesty, it's just my approach to my faith is conversation. Like I approach work and just talk to your people. I just was trying to have really honest conversations with God and myself. And I can remember a time of sitting crying, of course, because it's strong emotion, and in a closet in an apartment, just being like, I'm trying to do, I'm looking for signs, I'm looking for guidance and everything. And this is what I feel like and what I think is the right answer. And now I've got my son saying this over here. So is that you or is this you? But it was a lot of just what I feel like an honest conversation, how I like to talk, how I like to converse, having those very personal conversations to just try and do what I think is the right next step. That was a lot of part of that whole what needs to be decided tomorrow or tonight. I don't have to figure it all out, but what do I think is the right next step?
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. That is a very tender and wholehearted answer. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for letting me share that. That's, a very personal journey in that space.
And you know what? I think that sharing that reminds us that as you walk down the hall, if you're in an environment with somebody in the office, they could have that exact same thing they're struggling with. You just never know what somebody has going on as you go through the world. And I noticed that one of your lessons was give yourself grace. How did that translate into how you lead others?
The people that I work with probably have a list of notes, the phrases that Carrie says all the time. One of those, say more about that. If anybody, I don't want to make the assumption that I know what it is they mean, what it is they're feeling, what all the details of that scenario that's happening to them, what all is going on. Because as we just said, we can create the story really quick based on our lens and how we see things. I want to hear from them. I have the ability to give grace is I want more understanding. When I have more understanding, there's a level of that grace, the door just opens wide. And so talk to me more about what's going on. Say more about this or that, or walk me through what that situation has been like. And what are you feeling? Like it's taking the same kind of approach with questions.
Great
question. To dig deeper with other people. And you just said it, like there's always something going on with everybody, we big, small, and it's not necessarily my job to determine whether or not I think your thing is a big deal or not. At the end of the day, it's big for you, and that's what matters. And that's where I think I try and put the grace in of, that doesn't seem like a big deal to me, but it clearly is a big deal for somebody else. And I need to give them the grace to deal with that in the way they need to, not how I think they should.
I love it. And it sounds like also something that your friend gave you when you were in those conversations. She didn't judge. She didn't say, that doesn't seem like a big deal. She said, tell me more about that. What's happening for you? What value does that touch? As you think about these huge lessons, two opposing things can be true. give yourself grace and you practice that at work. You talked a little bit about how you have built a reputation of asking great questions because now your team knows, hey, Carrie would say that. What would Carrie do? She would just tell more about that. What are some other ways that this really big life-shaping experience has propelled you forward as a leader in your organization?
What probably the first thing I think of, which sounds a little crazy if I get ready to say this out loud, is a level of confidence that I think was buried a little bit.
Right.
My family jokingly says everything is a competition. Like we grew up, all three of us, my siblings, doing something that was some sort of competition. And so it is the family joke now, but I was the quieter one. I'm the, probably you could say the traditional middle child. So I was very much a peacemaker. I wanted everybody to be happy. And so I gave a lot of other people props and didn't necessarily do that for myself. And through this journey, I've learned that I have a voice, that voice is important. I can do it in a way that feels comfortable and positive for me, and I can speak up. So again, it's that what sometimes feels like opposing things to me are okay.
Yeah.
And
confidence to speak up and use your voice in a way that is consistent with your values. And it sounds like if I remember back to some of the stories you were sharing, some of that means you might use a little bit more of your range and not always be the harmonizer. You might say, you know what? I have something I need to share, whatever that looks like for you. And you may be more direct than you would have been in the past.
I've learned to add some language that, again, gets to that confidence and ability to speak up, but still stays true to the tone and the space that I still want to create in those kind of conversations. So it's crazy because I think of how old I am. And that I've got more confidence now than I ever had in my early 20s, which is, you know, need to tackle the world. And I'm like, I had to wait a little bit longer. But the way the confidence, I think, comes across now has just lent itself very well to me being able to take on larger roles and, in all honesty, put me in the spot that I'm in right now. Yes, confidence.
I love it. I think the confidence is huge, and it can come with time and challenges, and it also can come from trying out some things you learn here. So I know that people are going to be wanting to get to know you a little bit or wanting to ask, how did you do that? Where can people find you, Carrie?
Absolutely on LinkedIn. I am out there and more than happy to connect and talk about any of this journey or anything related to my career with anybody.
That's amazing.
I love a good conversation.
I can tell, and I love it too. I want to ask you one more thing. So imagine you were talking to somebody 20, 15 years earlier in their career, and they're seeing you and you're like, oh yeah, she has confidence. Sure, she does. She went through all that stuff. I don't want to have to go through all of that stuff. What's your advice to somebody to really put a final kind of pin or underline? What would you have told yourself 15, 20 years earlier even?
Oh, two things come to mind. Get to know yourself. Early, spend time with yourself, know what you're passionate about. And even if it's different than what your friends are doing or what your family thinks might be the next step for you or what society says you should, I'm trying to stay away from that should word. There's so many different avenues that you can take that I constantly talk about. Gosh, I wish I knew a lot more and dug into really who I am, what I like, what I don't like. So I didn't go down certain paths. And when you get that gut feeling in you, just had this conversation with my daughter, don't dismiss it. It is telling you something. So to spend some time and don't bury it, because at some point it's gonna come back.
I like to share that emotions are data and that gut is telling you something. Doesn't mean you have to always think that's the only part of the story. But it does have a little bit of something to tell you. And knowing yourself can help you to build kind of your path, even if it's different, especially if it's different, because that's what is special about you. So, yes. Carrie, thank you so very much for spending time in conversation with me. I feel like it's so awesome that you are leading an organization of people who are doing important things, but they know that they can be their whole selves around you. And that really helps us to bring the best stuff to the table at work or in our personal lives.
Thank you for hanging out with us and listening to Transformation Unfiltered. If you found today's conversation valuable, leave us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast player. It helps us reach more changemakers just like you. Do you know someone who would be great as a guest on our show? Send us a message on LinkedIn or drop us an email. We'd love to hear your recommendation and appreciate the connection. See you next week for another episode featuring an HR leader just like you who's hitting fast forward on change, impact, and transformation.